Fitter, Happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Homelessness is one of the most challenging issues faced by more than 116,000 Australians and can significantly impact on the health and well-being of those who are experiencing it. Joining me today to talk about the relationship between homelessness and health is Dr. Amanda Stafford from Royal Perth Hospital. Welcome, Amanda.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Anytime. Thanks for being with us. First off, can you tell us a little bit about your background and role at Royal Perth Hospital?
Yeah, so I work at Royal Perth Hospital part-time, half-time as an emergency department consultant and half-time as the clinical lead of the Royal Perth Hospital homeless team. How I got there was that as an ED consultant in an inner city hospital, started to realise that we had a lot of homeless people coming through the emergency department and we didn't have very good responses to them. So I started to work with the Homeless Healthcare GP practice, which is a long-standing homelessness medicine GP practice in working in central Perth. And about 4 years ago, we set up a homeless team within the hospital, bringing GPs, nurses and caseworkers from the homeless healthcare practice into the hospital, to the bedside, to see our homeless patients and offer them what we could to improve their situation. And coming from that became a wider interest in the homelessness issue. And so I've now developed an advocacy role trying to reach into the sort of root causes of homelessness on a wider level so that we can work towards eradicating homelessness.
What sorts of help does the centre in RPH, with the help of Homeless Healthcare GP, offer to homeless people?
So some of it is just the simple fact that for a homeless person who's often feeling pretty disempowered, often quite judged by the hospital situation, has a special team that comes and sees them and advocates for them and also provides them with practical help if they need it, as well as, and that might be something like turning the television on or just having someone to talk to. The other thing is to is our caseworkers particularly will link them into services that they may not know to help them to access housing. The GPs will look at their medical history and offer them ongoing care in their GP practice in the community. We also, with the GP, will look at the discharge plans for a homeless person, which may be need to be very different, and will advocate for the patient, for example, a few extra days kept in to get special types of dressings that the GPs can put on. There are a whole range of things that that we can do to improve the care and the discharge of a homeless patient.
And more broadly, why is homelessness such a significant issue here in WA?
So I think it's a significant issue in pretty much all of the developed countries. Some of the particular things I think for WA are that over many years there's been quite a fragmented and ineffective service for helping homeless people. In the sort of 5-6 years I've been involved in homelessness, that's changed an enormous amount and it's now a much more cohesive response. I think both through the community sectors and also through the Department of Health and Department of Housing. But I think other things that affected us particularly were that the boom times that we had raised house prices a lot, and we had a lot of people coming into the state as well in search of in jobs. We've got a long-standing underhousing of our Aboriginal population, and that's the Aboriginal population account for about 30% of our homeless population. But I think when there's underhousing, there's overcrowding within the housing that exists. That often, and that's often due to family obligations to assist family members, coupled with then stricter eviction policies, which left a lot of people homeless. The other very general problem is that the low levels of New Start prior to the COVID crisis meant that people could not afford housing. The tightening of the disability support pension, which is a higher payment, that really tightened. So people who really were never going to be able to work found it hard to get on that, and they ended up staying on the $250 a week. So there are a whole lot of factors. Some of them are more general and some of them more specific to WA.
A lot of factors going on there. Look, does homelessness just apply to people sleeping rough on the street? How broad is the term homeless?
So it's much broader than rough sleeping. So rough sleeping is the most severe type of homelessness. Our categorisation probably really comes from the Australian Census that was done in 2016, where they had six categories of homelessness. The most common is, in fact, severely overcrowded dwellings. And that's severe. It means that dwelling needs at least four more bedrooms to accommodate the people who are living there. The other groups are things like people living in temporary accommodation and boarding houses. In Western Australia, we have about 12% of the homeless population. We have about 9,000 homeless people, or there were in that census. 12% in WA, 12% of those are rough sleepers, which is higher than the national average, which is 7%. So there are a lot more types of homelessness, but rough sleeping is the most severe and it's also the most visible to people.
And what's the connection between homelessness and health?
So it's a two-way street, because if you're homeless, your health is going to be terrible. But if you also have poor health, particularly poor mental health, you're much more likely to end up on the streets. In terms of the effect of being homeless on health, it affects pretty much all domains of health. Physical health is very poor. When we look at photographs of people who've been homeless for many years, their ageing is very quick. The average lifespan of a rough sleeper is around 47 years of age, which is probably the lowest of any group in our population. Mental health is pretty much destroyed by being on the street. Everybody on the street will be anxious and depressed. People with psychotic illnesses, such as schizophrenia, will end up often untreated. It's very hard for them to access enough mental health services. We have a lot of very traumatised people on the street from things like childhood abuse. And being on the street is absolutely terrifying for them. The way that many homeless people manage these sort of mental health issues is to use substances. Alcohol would be the most common in helping people to forget what's happening to them, to allow them to sleep, to just pass the time. And methamphetamine can make people feel good, which they don't normally feel. It elevates their mood and makes them feel fine about life for a while. There's also a lot of heroin use at the moment on the streets, and that helps people to get rid of physical pain, but also psychological pain. So between poor physical health, mental health and substance use, there's often really complex and really severe health issues for people who are rough sleeping particularly.
And you were saying it's quite difficult for mentally unhealthy people to find help. How difficult is it for people experiencing homelessness to access healthcare?
So in the sense of, are those services available? The answer is yes. So we have services such as hospitals and specialist homeless medicine GPs. The difficulty is not so much that we don't have those, but that a homeless person, especially living on the streets, is in survival mode. So health is not their highest priority. It's about, can I get through this day safely? Can I find enough to eat? Have I got somewhere that's warm and dry that I can stay? So unless the health issue is really impacting on their ability to move, so for example, if they had a sore foot, that's a problem for them. But if their diabetes was out of control, then they wouldn't be so concerned about that, because they won't take their blood sugar and it's not a concern today. So the other is that homeless people in, for example, a hospital often feel very judged and respected. The fact that they use substances often makes them feel like they're being, or they are overtly treated as though they're junkies, without an understanding of why people are using actually using substances and what role they play in their life. And some services which have high thresholds, for example, addiction services, are almost impossible for homeless people to access, because there are lots of preconditions and pre-appointments to getting in there. So for immediate problems such as illnesses or injuries, yes, they can access services. Mental health, more difficult. Again, the substance use means that people are often sent on to substance use services rather than having their mental health issues treated. So we have good health services, but they are actually not the major factors in the health of the homeless people. It's more the issue that they're homeless and they don't have the correct supports, because that's actually the most important health intervention that you can have, is actually housing and supports, not so much being able to go to a doctor or go to a hospital.
Before I let you go, Dr. Stafford, what message would you like to send to people surrounding the issue of homelessness?
My message would be that we don't need to have homelessness, that it is a solvable problem, that it's not actually expensive to solve, and it's a lot less expensive than the amount of money that we spend on sort of damage control measures such as hospital admissions, putting people in jail, etc. We can solve the problem, and we should solve it, because it's the right thing for our society to do. It's a happier and fairer society if we help the people at the bottom of the pile.
A powerful message. Thank you for your time this morning, Dr. Stafford.
Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Anytime. Dr. Amanda Stafford from Royal Perth Hospital just there, talking all about homelessness and healthcare after Homelessness Week just last week.